It has been said that there is only one way out of this life, and that is by a one-way ticket, death. The strange thing is that the ticket is purchased at birth, and it's good for an unknown destination of time. Someone once put it this way: at birth we begin the process of dying. Or to put it another way, we were born to die. Now, oh, this sounds kind of morbid, especially on Easter Sunday. But the truth is, death is an integral part of life. We live with it throughout our lives. This may be true for some, especially among the young. Death seems to be a totally irrelevant word. Therefore, risk with dangerous activities are taken without any second thought, since nothing bad is ever going to happen to me. I am invincible. Therefore, chances are taken without any thought to the potential consequences. It becomes a thrill to flirt with injury and to be able to defy it. Drugs and the resulting overdoses is a prime example of this. Even with the best of warnings, they are seen as irrelevant. Not only among the young people, but many adults also. We are invincible. Although we try to ignore it, death may suddenly crop up from time to time in life. This we experience more and more with the acts of terrorism, as we have just seen. At these times, each in his own or her own way mourns and deals with such losses as the loss of a friend, a neighbor, a family member, a loved one, or even an innocent stranger, as with the terrorist acts. The experiences with death may cause us to pause and think about our own mortality. On the other hand, many will push it aside as being outside of the reality for them. So let me get on with my life. Who wants to live every day with the fear of dying? So let me avoid ever thinking about it. Such an attitude may be very necessary or even healthy, at least to a point. We know of those who are so consumed by death that they become the living dead among us, who cannot experience the joys in life. They become so consumed that they withdraw from life into their small, protected, dark world of self. Some become so consumed that they commit suicide. And all, we see that time and time again in our society. Regardless, death remains with us whether we hide from it, deny it, become consumed by it, or totally ignore it. It is an ever-present fact in life which is most often fraught with fear and sadness. Into this reality of life comes God's message of another reality of life. It came in the form of the birth of a baby some 2,000 years ago. This birth was special, For in this birth, God became man. His name was Jesus. This meant that the Son of God, being in the form of mankind, was also born to die. The reality was that this Jesus, at one point or another, had to die, or else the incarnation would not be valid. Like us, he had to experience the death of his human body. You know, the disciples understood this human reality and understood that even though Jesus may have been a prophet to them or a political Messiah, they knew he was a man. And mankind eventually had to succumb to death. Perhaps this is why they interpreted Jesus' message about the kingdom of God as the new kingdom of Israel. They could not imagine his divinity. This is why they thought Jesus to be the traditional Messiah who would answer the human needs of the suppressed Jewish people. It is why they saw Jesus as the Messiah who would apply human solutions to human problems. They therefore knew that someday they would have to deal with his human death. This is why when Jesus told his disciples about his coming suffering and death, Peter said, "God forbid it! God forbid it, Lord! That must never happen to you." They could not perceive the divine Jesus who would conquer death and on the third day be raised. That was way beyond the human experience of death. And that is all that Peter and the other disciples could understand. Human death as the end of life. Thus, for his disciples and followers, Jesus' death would only happen long after he was victorious in establishing the new kingdom of Israel. Death was not an immediate concern of his followers upon the entrance into Jerusalem. No, there was a lot of living to do, a lot to accomplish and establish before any thought of death. But the reality was and is that death is not concerned with the appropriate time or what has or has not been completed. That's a concern of mortal life. That's a concern of humanity. Therefore, in his followers' mind, the tragic death of Jesus was far, far too soon, ill-timed, and devastating for all Jews. But it happened, leaving the band of men and women who loved and followed him to do their human thing, mourn his death. It left them trying to pick up the pieces in their lives and try to live with their loss. Part of this mourning process was to properly prepare the dead body for its eternal sleep. Now, this was usually left up to the women. Since Jesus died late on the day before the Sabbath, they barely had time to place him in the tomb before sundown or the Sabbath. There was no time to properly anoint and wrap his body. Therefore, at the crack of dawn, the day after the Sabbath, the women in Jesus' life came to the tomb to bring some kind of closure to their mourning by properly preparing his dead body. Little did they realize the dramatic event which was about to occur. They had no clue that it would change their lives and the life of mankind throughout history. They had no clue as they went to that tomb They had no idea that they would suddenly see Jesus and his message in a different way. No clue. All they knew when they found the empty tomb was that someone, somebody, had stolen their friend's body. Where was it? They must have thought, when is this tragedy going to end? Now there certainly would be no closure. The roller coaster ride of the past week, with its dramatic and emotional highs and lows, would suddenly change again. The totally unexpected happened. Luke relates that two men in dazzling clothes, presumed to be angels, suddenly stood among them. What? Angels? Dazzling clothes? They then gave the astonishing message. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Well, the woman must have said to themselves, risen? But we had seen his dead body. How can this be? The angels continued, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified on the third day rise again. With that, they remembered. And suddenly the mourning began to turn into joy. What a dramatic scene. Not wasting any time with this good news, they went and told the disciples. Now, it must be understood, the disciples still didn't understand the nature of the incarnation. They still only saw the humanity of Jesus, and thus only understood the finality of death. Therefore, they took the woman's word about what they were told as mere wishful thinking, idle talk on their part. Peter, though, had to see for himself. He went and found the tomb empty, with only the linen cloths remaining there. We are told that he left in amazement, but uncertain as to what had happened. It wasn't until later, when Jesus appeared among his disciples, that they finally began to understand the reality of the incarnation, the reality of Christmas, the reality of the birth of Christ, and the divine nature of this Jesus. Jesus' humanity did die upon the cross, but his divinity lives on. One can safely say that the meaning of the Nativity, Christmas, can only be found through the cross and empty tomb. It can also be said that life and death can only be understood in terms of the empty tomb, the risen Christ. The Easter message is that even though death is a reality in life, it has no power over life. Paul put it this way. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. They were Paul's words. Therefore, the joy of the resurrection message, he is risen, is the joy of knowing that even though death is a part of life, it does not overcome life. The resurrection tells us that through Christ we are assured that life is the true victor. We are assured that life doesn't end upon the death of our humanity, but begins anew in God's eternal kingdom of love. Yes, we can joyously celebrate He is risen, because we know death has been overcome and life for us is eternal. Today we celebrate that God became man in order to give us the victorious message. He is risen. He is risen indeed. When all of this is said and done, there is only one way out of this life, and this is by way of the empty tomb. By way of the empty tomb. Amen.